Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Getting ready to go on tour, man, and I will definitely keep you a heads up. I know she's going to be hitting many parts of the United States, floating around probably in the Midwest. I will give, like I said, a heads up to where and what on that. And by the way, happy birthday, Angie. Of course, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Got a lot of things happening, man, especially coming next month. I got some special, really very, very special shows coming up on September 10th. All I can tell you, I have extremely important guest that's coming on September 10th. Any of you who have any serious questionings of the social dynamics of our systems, the banking, the monies, who are the real owners, the inside scoop of the person of the know, inside know, that's all I'll tell you, will be on my show September 10th. And it's a show that you will definitely, definitely want to hear. She's going to be coming on, and when she does, she's actually putting herself in a situation by disclosing this information, because it's also her identity. And like I said, circle that down, September 10th. It will be the show of shows for this year. Now, on September 17th, I will have, again, Carrie Fezza, because it's going to be coming around that quarter of the year. You know, the equinox and all the noxes. Her astrology has been so intense. Check her out, zodiacbuzz.com. And that's on September 17th. And she will give us her quarterly extensive report per the zodiac and the stars and planets. And I look forward to that show as well. And for you all those who feel like leaving their body and going to astral projection, whether they're awake or in their dreams, of course I'm talking about my book, Spirit. Those do feel free to check it out. You can check it at andrewspirit.com. It is presently, for those out there, they have just put it on Kindle, so you can get it on Kindle as well for those who want to download it to their systems. I don't know if it's up yet as an ebook on Nook. We're advancing into the paperless media of things. So it is available on ebook as well as, of course, hardcover and softcover. And regarding also my book, Spirit. I am will be doing an event on August 24th at 2 p.m. That's a Saturday at the Borders in San Diego, Chula Vista area. It's in technically Chula Vista, but the San Diego County area. And that's in 878 East Lake Parkway. I think it's called Suite 210. Again, that's in Chula Vista. The week from this Saturday, August 24th at 2 p.m. I love seeing, meeting new people and hearing what you have to say and discussion. Just come around the table. Don't even have to buy a book. Just say hello or whatever's on your mind. I always love chatting with people and meeting new people. It's great to hear what people think and feel. And it should be pretty interesting. Now, I have a very, very special guest. And she, I guess, goes on her trail from back and forth from Las Vegas, Nevada. And she went on a special trip to Argentina. And her name is Kim Advent. And she is involved with a very important clinic that utilizes both the obvious, the medical of physical, but also as well as thoughts and the spiritual side of healing. And without further ado, she will explain what it is. Kim, are you still there?
I am. Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
How you doing? And let me ask you this, Kim. I hope I pronounced your last name right.
it's Advent, like Christmas Advent. Time,
Advent. Adventitious, see?
You just
add the ish on there, and you say, I'm Kim Adventitious. Or adventurous, See, you can do that one, too. Let me ask you this. A lot of my guests, because they don't know who or what you are or whatever, or what you are, can you tell us a little bit, first of all, briefly, tell us a little bit about your background.
I want to tell you, that's how I met you. I went to a store where you were doing book signings. I bought your book, and we met and spoke, and here I am. So you never know what can happen out of a book signing. My background for the last 10 years is I've been trying to find the best of the best of the best as far as things that help people in total healing, and I mean mind, body, and soul. So I've dedicated my life to search those places out, and that's where it brought me to Argentina on a recommendation that there was something miraculous going on down here.
But let me ask you this. What brought you, first of all, that got you there, but before that, what was your sort of your background as far as in spirituality? What was your upbringing, or how do you go about? Didn't jump up and all of a sudden, boom! As a baby or a little kid on your bicycle, go, gee, guess what? I'm gonna head to Argentina and find out about.
Okay, gotcha. I was born and raised and baptized a Catholic. I actually attended Catholic school until I was right before high school, and then my family relocated where there wasn't a parochial school, so I had to go into public school at that time. So very, very much Catholic all the way. I have 4 children, and they went through Catholic school all the way up until college. So very, very strong Catholic. And shortly after, I had to do some of my own searching because I didn't feel fulfilled, and I just wound up looking at different, more non-denominational types of things. So I've always been a seeker, for what God is.
So you're basically, your endeavor was always to find out the essence of your identifying with your real spirituality as opposed to one that's been presented to you, go here, this is the way it is, and you said you basically are questioning it and you wanted to find rediscovery of the essence of your own spirituality. Is that what I get?
Exactly. You say the perfect word, essence. And I think that's why when I got down here to CMI, not only what they're doing medically, but they identify the essence of who you are. And, I never criticize anybody's belief because that's the beauty of free will. But we all have a soul, and I always believe that we're always searching for God if we choose to. And he doesn't always lie in a religion necessarily. And the whole thing is to find your essence. It doesn't matter if we're Jewish, Catholic, Christian, Buddha, whatever our belief is, we're connected to, a higher power.
So let me ask you this now, I don't even know, what's CMI stand for anyway?
They do it a little different because it's, Spanish, but it's Medical Integrated Clinic. The CMI is how they initialize it, and Abasto is the neighborhood within Buenos Aires.
Oh, okay. And then, when you went to how did you find out about CMI?
Okay. I had heard about it about a year and a half ago from my boyfriend. He had been telling me different things that were happening there that were miraculous, and most of them were neurological issues. And I have a strong belief that anything that's, attached to neurological issues is also emotional or mind thinking. And so I finally got down here at the beginning of this year and was able to be in front of, the head doctor and the head philosophical coach. And shortly after our meeting, it was one of those things like the light bulb goes on and you go, oh, my God, this is my destiny. I get what they're doing, and I know this is what mankind needs now. It's the time. Humanity needs something very unique. And so from the beginning of this year, I kind of just made that transition to stay here more than not, and bring people down from the States and just going in that direction because people are finding their essence here.
So the people are basically like what's been going around the world, basically, of reawakening themselves or awakening themselves to a lot of the you know, like you said, I use the word essence, awakening up to more things that are out there than that was being dictated to us in the beginning. So they're just basically waking souls that are reawakening.
Exactly. You know, we have so much information going on out there, and I think when you, like, I love the word essence, but when you go back to who you are, there was a Roman philosopher, his name's Seneca, before, like, 5 B.C. He said, before laying our eyes on any other subject, we should be well advised to lay them on ourselves. And that's where we start. We have to start with ourselves. And here's another idea that, you know, man thinks by instinct, and we all know how difficult it is to suppress instinct. So right thinking is critical with the times that we're in, right thinking about who our essence is and how do we achieve that. And I think with the shifting and people being bombarded with all this information that, you know, you're able to now say, it's time for me to quiet myself down. And am I wrong thinking? Am I reacting? Am I doing what they call reflex conditioning, you know, reflex conditioning, like a knee-jerk action to everything? Because once we have anger or an issue, we react. And
yeah,
it's right all the time.
Yeah, thoughts are things. Basically, you produce what your thoughts are, producing a reality of energy that's not just your environment, but you as a person as well.
You're always producing that new energy or the emotion. But is the emotion correct? You know, and with that emotion, what are the consequences of it if it's not resolved with right thinking? Is it illness, depression, addiction, you know?
Yeah, but that's
so
produced
power
by...
lies within our own essence.
Yeah, but I was just saying, yeah, but we produce the thought, we create our own thoughts. But my teacher in the past used to had coined the phrase thoughts are things, and she used to say what you have to change your tapes, meaning that if you change your tapes, thought that means your thought tapes.
But how do you do
that? I'm sorry?
Exactly. She's exactly right. But how do you do that? We still use the same tools to apply a new change or a new thought because we don't have another level of option yet where we didn't until now.
Right.
You know,
so
it's
now,
like, I like to always say we're in a shoebox with problems and solutions, and we mix them up a little bit and we get some new information that seems like it may help us, but we try that. But it's nothing really new or unique. We've just never been in the position to apply practical philosophies that work because no one's been able to teach to us.
Yeah, but there's also been there's been around since days of shamanism, but everybody there's of changing how to change your thoughts and patterns, and there's so many multitude of paths to do it. And what you're presenting in here on the show with CMI is another path of doing it in a health conscious way, in a healthy way, in a medical issue that should be integrated deeply within our medical issues, and instead of here's another pill to and thinking that you just fixed your issues with physical treatment as opposed to it's really a spiritual treatment. So let me ask you this. So now let me ask you I say CMI. What is the CMI encompass? I know you said they're located right presently in Argentina, and their facility, I understand, is there, correct? Okay, now what is the methodology that they utilize to perform their service?
Okay, what they are is actually traditional medicine that is overseen by one doctor, a head doctor, Dr. Novus, and philosophical coaches overseen by Chucha, and they integrate them together. And what we usually have people doing is come down for 7 days of diagnostic testing, which is very comprehensive. Again, you know, it's mind, body, and soul. Some people may come, the people come, but they don't necessarily have to be ill or addicted or depressed. They have the highest rate in success in those neurological issues, as I said, you know, with addiction and depression, but anyone can come. We have many people seeking essence, trying to understand philosophies or right thinking about themselves. So when someone comes, they generally spend 7 days, and they have comprehensive testing done. And by the end of the week, after the test results and the coaching is assessed, it's literally like a book that's written specifically for you. And then the protocol of the treatment is then identified because it will be unique to you. It's like they say, you know, in the world, no two grains of sand are identical. So if sand has no, you know, common thread, then why would we think human beings should be treated as a, you know, a group or assume that we all get the same treatment? We are so unique. And that's why what they do is apply the psychology to an individual that's custom made for that person and the ideas and who they are. Because once you identify right thinking and the essence of who you are, you can change the physical body. And once that happens, you can eliminate illness. You can defeat depression. You can defeat any addiction. And they've been doing this for 27 years.
So they're using the methods of changing, but like I said, basically the tapes in their part. Because it's funny you're bringing this up because this is actually sort of old quantum physics, by the way, even though it was sort of recent when they put out What the Bleep Do We Know, that they used to say that, for example, people who are depression is actually an addiction thing, that a chemical reaction in the body that's proposed by the thoughts. And this actually, by the way, in quantum physics, they've already proved it. Lots of things they have, they can measure it, and it produces a chemical. So if the person's like feeling depressed, it'll produce because the DNA is literally a communication device. It's not, it doesn't produce genes. 80% of it's communicating. So it's the thought into the DNA producing now the chemical reaction. And so what happens, a lot of people from, this is one from a quantum physicist, I remember saying, that the production of that material of the feeling depressed actually becomes an addiction, because the person will get their life like feel good and they'll have a withdrawal because of that. The same that chemical that produced the depression is like the same element that's almost like a heroin. It is it works on the hypothalamus, the same reaction. So they're saying that by giving somebody drugs and their synapses in their brains is not ever going to fix the things. Actually, you're making it worse by giving a chemical on their synapses and playing with that, when it really, in reality, it's the mind, which is the mind is outside of the brain. It's not of the brain. It's outside the brain. The brain is just is the camera. It's the guy behind the camera, and that's how they term it.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is helping the observer, adjusting the focus on the camera, so that way they're producing the right shot, so to speak, so the person doesn't need to keep on getting depressed, right?
Yeah, you're going exactly the right route. You're exactly right about that, with the idea of the quantum physics. Here's a perfect example. We actually have someone here from the States who was a heroin addict and had been taking heroin daily for over 8 years, and also in many rehab centers, 15. What they did discover for him with his CAT scan, that he would be probably schizophrenic. But they understood his psychology, and they understood that if he didn't seek the treatment that had a total solution, he would probably overdose by choice at a very deep level and choose, you know, death over schizophrenia. But what happened is, as you're saying, the mind is so powerful, and what they do is they illuminate the right ideas. We never focus on the addiction or the depression or the illness. When you can illuminate everything that's around it, you're almost suppressing that. And with anybody that does, like, a drug, they're using a substance. They're seeking pleasure. They're getting pleasure, along with negative consequences, obviously. But their goal is to find an answer. And the best answer for anyone who is seeking out a drug or a substance is to know themselves. That gives more pleasure than a heroin. And we are documenting someone here who's been down here. And like I said, he's been in 15 treatment centers, so he knows the ropes. He knows how to talk the talk. But he knows now he is feeling feelings that he's never experienced before, and it's all him. Because they were able to illuminate and show the right ideas about him. And that's the difference. Like, we talk about it generically, but who's actually applying it in the world? We might do it at some level, but it takes months and years and years and years. Where here, when you're under their care, they're working with you 24/7, and they're giving you the tools, and then you have the new wisdom. You know, reading books is what I used to do, and I would get it, and I'd go, I get it, and then I try to apply it. But I'd lose it somewhere along the way because I didn't have the wisdom that I needed about my own psychology. So when we know who we are and it's illuminated and we have the tools and we apply them to practical living, we are now transitioning new change for our life.
So let me ask you this, on CMI, are they, now that like you just answered, like they also utilize both the medical way, the old or whatever, the conservative, what, you know, the basic using medical services for the physical body, and then they incorporate also as well as the spiritual. So it's not people, so it's like, oh, all you're doing is some spiritual stuff, which is really the reality of helping a lot of stuff. But they are incorporating both, utilizing, there's a doctor who utilizes the physical part as well as another one that utilizes the spiritual side, so they go hand in hand.
Exactly, because it's the mind, body, and soul. We can't work without any of it.
Right.
And it's unfortunate we focus on the body and prioritize that. And it is the tool to tell us when there's emotion or a stress that we need to react to something going on because of the thought, because of the emotion. So we tend to ignore that. If we would reverse it and work on the soul or the mind or the thought and the emotions first, then the outcome of the physical body will change. As I said, we would be able to eliminate disease, suppress, addiction, depression. So that's what they do is different. And I have people that have come down from the States that are totally healthy, but we didn't realize that. I had someone just last week who was near death several times last year, and all the tests were conclusive. She's 100% healthy. And they do every comprehensive test. They do CAT scan. They do heart. They do, as women, gynecological, bone density, lab work, x-rays. It's very, very detailed. And there's one doctor that communicates with all the specialists. So there's nothing lost in translation as far as who's in charge. But they found out with her thinking, her wrong thinking about past relationships, that her near-death experiences created such illness that her immune system literally shuts down and she would die. But now she knows it's psychosomatic. Now she knows it's something that she came into this world believing about herself, about relationships that are so wrong, and now she has tools. And she doesn't ever have to experience these episodes of illness or near-death. And her test, as I said, concluded she's 100% healthy. But we never want to neglect any part of it because, again, even with the young man that was a heroin addict, no one once did a CAT scan on him. And that was so critical to know in his CAT scan that they didn't identify that. And understanding his psychology, we knew he had a choice, schizophrenia or overdosing because of pride. Without treatment, he would have chose to overdose.
Okay. Let me ask you this: what is their method of first of all, what is their method of diagnose in application of the spiritual side? What is their method to change their and technique to change the thought patterns?
Okay, that I'm glad that's a great question. I have Louis Spain with me, and he has been a coach for over 20 years, and he will be happy to explain it in even better detail than I could.
Okay.
Hi, Emily.
Hello. What's your name again?
Hello.
And what is your name again? I'm sorry. Hello.
My name is Louise.
Oh, Louise. What I was asking Kim is, what exactly is your technique that you utilize, and first of all, diagnose, and as well as application, to change the thought patterns of the patient.
Perfect. First, we know that every person is unique. Every person has a unique soul and, of course, unique body. And we identify also that the person is not one person. It's inside of the person is 1,000 person or 100,000 person. And we have to know that, because that's why, depending the time, depending the time of the day, depending the year, the person changes abruptly. It's because the person is not one person. It's a thousand of person that change depending, you know, the situation, the relationship, where he was born, etc., etc. Then, after that the person understand that he's no one person, we have to identify those person inside of your own psychology. You have to see how every person inside of you react depending the situation.
Mm-hmm.
How this person, a little person, affect your life.
So basically, what you're doing first is identifying for the individual, so you can identify what the terms they call a false ego as opposed to the real self. Is that correct? That's what it seems like what you're doing. First, you're in a diagnosis. You're identifying the false ego as opposed to the self, and then you almost like hold up the mirror for the patient to realize that. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna interject sometimes as well, because our American verbiage sometimes, false ego, is kind of like a new label that Louise may not identify. So I jump in, but you're exactly right. But he's saying false ego. I think what he's trying to identify.
No, I used that word on him, with him, but in this caption Louis was explaining. That's what I was relating to, is how the false ego, or the false self, which is the part of people who, because people, the problem is most people in general have identity problems. They don't know how to, it's not knowing yourself, it's understanding, because you really never know yourself, but you have an understanding of yourself, and the problem is because they have this disconnect. So they have, and because they have that disconnect of who they are with the universe, they obviously have a disconnect of the real reality of who they are. So that separation that's developed, that was created from lifetime, in my view, as well as also, you know, within our own social dynamics, from parent to child to whether it's clerical to, you know, clergy or government or any authorities, teachers, or just friends or whatever, or social things, the person has this separation of false ego. And so they identify with that, and when they don't come to terms of meeting those expectations, that's they're assuming those are the reality when it really isn't, and they don't even know their real self. So what it seemed like with Louis is that he's showing the difference of the two by knowing the relations of people around him and blah, 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 and then you get to the terms of, here, this is you are, and I'm going to hold up the mirror for you. I mean, because the person doesn't know how to hold the mirror up. So he's holding the mirror up for the patient to identify the diagnosis. That sounds what it sounded like in the beginning. Did I hit it?
Yes. I would say, for example, when you go to the radio station, when you go, you go with a certain people inside of you.
Uh-huh.
Probably, you know, most of these people, it's very good for you. And when you go to your home, you have another group of people. When you go with your friends, you have another group of people. Then we have to know, depending on your situation, where you affect, for example, if you have a relationship and this relationship affects your life, then you are depressed or you are in anguish, we have to identify why you're in anguish.
Right. So that's why, that's what I'm saying to you. When you're dealing with the person on their alter self. Sometimes people use it's the relationship they have with these other people that actually exaggerates what they think is the reality of things, which really isn't. It's the illusion. What you're basically doing is removing the illusion that's been presented in the person's mind, because those illusions are created by thoughts, creating the expectations, and therefore that's the relation. When you're saying the different people that they're having relationships with, they're assuming the relationships that they're going bouncing off one another with the people, depending on the circumstances. It could be abusive relationship or why or what or who knows what. So they assume those are those relationships are how you're going. This is how they're affecting you. And is that what I'm gathering at?
Yes, but what we do is you feed your body. Everybody feed your body. What
mm-hmm.
we do is to feed the soul with right ideas. That,
mm-hmm.
and when you feed your soul, you are feeding this eye, we call eye, low eye and high eye.
Mm-hmm.
We feed the high eye that most of the people are hiding the high eye. That's why the people are suffering. That's why people are under depression. We feed this high eye. Then we have to move. We have to identify the low eye that creates crisis in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Anger, possession, jealousy, any situation that creates crisis in your life. Feeling your high eye is automatically creates change your body, and you will be more healthy. You will be more happy. That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But we come back again. Okay, we can share the same idea. We have the same idea about Buddha, about different philosophers. But the question is how we can apply in the daily life. How I can give you the right tool to overcome and to change your life forever. Okay, in this group in CMI. In Argentina, we have been working since 27 years ago as a philosophical group, developing the techniques that help and make people happy forever. And that is the big difference. Because we probably can agree with many ideas about philosophy, but the problem is how to apply this idea in our daily life. And that is wisdom. It's the only way that you can solve these problems is with wisdom. And give me one second. You can read this.
Okay. Luis wants me to read something that's very important. It says the beginning of wisdom is gain wisdom. At the expense of all your possessions, acquire intelligence. Store it, and it will elevate you. It will honor you if you embrace it. It will lay a gem of grace on your forehead.
What is this you're reading?
I'm reading that from King Solomon. Wisdom is more important than anything, intelligence. When you have wisdom, you can change the thought patterns. It's better than knowledge. It's better than reading books. It's better than discussing philosophy. Wisdom is something that you will acquire once it's been identified and you apply it.
Yeah, well, it's called. They say that understanding. Actually, wisdom is a product of understanding. Nobody really knows. The understanding is the produces the product of wisdom. We all have the wisdom. We just don't realize we have it. And therefore, we get the understanding of it because we can experience it. Our experiences creates the understanding. What you're doing, or what the CMI is doing, is basically on the spiritual side is basically identifying with, like I said earlier, that you're holding up the mirror to the person, showing the relationships that they're having around people and identifying those. This is basically what it is. The spiritual person is basically energy, and we're all basically connected. People have this assumption that we're separated, and they think that this inner separation is like bouncing billiard balls off of each other. And in reality, we're not, because that's what there's been illogically, as well as misguided, as well as basically straight up BS, that we're all separated and we're bouncing billiard balls off each other. So, but in reality, we're so connected to one another that these relationships that we do have are indirectly affect us on one many levels. But first person, and we often identify ourselves to our relationships outside, and that's where it seems what you guys do is you come in and say, wait a second, these are all the relationships, but then you flip it and you go, wait a second, you don't even know, if you don't have an understanding of yourself, then therefore you'll have this misconstrued idea, understanding of the relationships on your environment, your world, and the relationships that you do have. So it seems like you're actually getting into, and which is really actually a marvel, that's what I'm getting to, is instead of putting Band-Aids over a disease, you get to the root of the illness, which the root of the illness is basically getting to when you talk of changing thoughts of tapes, you have to, the thought patterns, you have to get have the understanding for the person who, by the way, has choice and free will to choose to change those thought patterns, and therefore, and not just changing thoughts, but first having the a real perspective of the reality of them as an individual, as a soul, as spirit within the matrix of the universe. And that's what seems like what you're basically doing. And then once that is, you actually, by the self-discovery, the identification, you're like 70% past the point of healing, because then it's almost like self-healing. And then the methodologies from that on point, once you know the person's situation as far as identifying identification, you've already started you created the oil with the match, and now the match will burn with, like they say, the eternal flame to now start healing the process. So it's almost like self-healing in essence. It's just first getting the little pieces of get the match in the right place, place the oil in the right place, and then start it. Did I get it?
Yeah. What you were saying, you're absolutely right. If we remember, we are not separate individuals. We are all collectively one part of one universe. Anything that's in me is in you, and anything that's in you is in me, and any person we look at, we are those people, and that's what Luis was saying. the people in us. We have every part, you know, that I'm a good person, I'm a bad person, I'm a mean person, I'm an angry person, I'm a happy person. All those exist in our soul. All of us just deal with different levels. Maybe my one emotion is more prominent than yours would be in a different area, in a relationship or in a business. What we need to remember is what's good for me is good for you. What's good for you is good for me. If we would treat ourselves as one collective thought or consciousness, we can see ourselves differently. But we have to work as our own individual change first. And that's exactly it. You know, these are not new ideas. That's the whole the idea behind CMI was taking practical philosophies that seem to work and apply them to the human being and the human body to finally develop the whole mind, body, and soul that elevates us to this next level of saying, okay, we've got all these good tools. It's like when you're making a cake. You've got the eggs and the flour and everything sitting out there, and you know you can produce something that will taste good at the end of the day. But if you don't put them together and know how to use them properly, they're of no use if your objective is to create a cake. And it's no different than for us. If we are, our objective now is to be one collective thought of that illuminates goodness and change, then we have to find our essence first. And as we elevate and identify the low eyes and feed the high eyes, then we're attaching. So what's good going to be good for me will eventually be good for you. You see how that works? And
yes,
they have the tools and they have the wisdom and they've been doing it for 27 years where they have positioned themselves that this is working and we need to now identify it and start using it in a practical way.
Well, let me ask you this, because I want to get into one, I guess a sort of philosophical aspect of it, because you use a term I noticed that was in, I saw on, I think it was a website or whatever. But then I want to get into the issue of, you know, having, I know they have a facility in there, and I understand they want to do, you know, go obviously all over, let's say, in the United States or whatever, which I want to get to in after this one question I got to ask you is, use the worm fatigue of success. What do you mean by that?
Oh, thanks for asking that one. That's great. That's a great idea that they discovered about 20 years ago, and it applies to anybody in humanity at any point in their life. We all have like our own threshold of thought and our goals, and we set them. And, you know, mine might be different than Bill Gates or yours or whatever, but we all have our set of goals. And with our both goals and as they are achieved, we also have emotion attached to them. And there's a great pride in success in doing that. But once we discover, you know, we've reached them and we get an emotion of like, oh, gosh, what's next? Or I'm doing okay, but I'm afraid to apply myself a little bit further. An emotion comes up. And that emotion, if it's not addressed, can then turn into, you know, an illness or depression. And we all have that in our day-to-day life. Sometimes it might be on a day-to-day basis that, you know, we discover we have fatigue of success. And the key there is to know that it comes, especially when there's a great some project or something that's very important. We can call them obstacles that come up. But once we overcome the obstacles and we reach the next level, then we're able to then identify that was fatigue of success and we need to break through it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know, for example, a lot of actors or professional sports people, that is always a crisis if they don't have the idea of knowing who their true essence are, you know, or who they are. Like if you're an NFL football player and you're the best quarterback in the world, you know, unfortunately, when the game's done and the season's over, unless you've developed who you are and keep going, a lot of those guys wind up, you know, just suffering with depression, different problems. You know, I know many of them. My background, I was married into the NFL family. Unfortunately, a lot of those guys go and they're searching. They're constantly searching. Here I was a superstar, and now what do I do? You know, so fatigue of success can be related to that.
Well, There's a, and I'm trying to look at it. I'm trying to remember because in Tao Te Ching and Taoism, they have a thing about success. And it's like, first of all, they say like hope is hollow as fear, and because it's basically hollow. But there's also an expression about success as being extremely dangerous. Is success is as dangerous as fear, meaning that. I'm paraphrasing. I was trying to look up real quickly. I used to know them by heart, but that people have they that and it was really in relationship of what success is, and it's the false expectation because we place expectations on what success is because we think of we're in our society and in fact all of humanity has been being engrossed, ingrained that materialism success is success. So they think how many cars, how much money, you know, who dies with the most Mercedes. And when it's all getting done, it's extremely hollow. It's as hollow as hope, because hope is really a hollow. It's expectation. There's no, that's why hope is actually not a good thing to throw out hope. Even though people throw it in politicians and a lot of organized religions will throw that term out, and is what it is actually a form of manipulation because it is hollow. It's not a reality. It's the same thing. It's throwing out a false. It's not real because it's placing expectations. Same thing with success. If the individual already has understands the success is actually in real terms is the success is what like in your what you guys are doing the real success. We're only in these embodiments to heal ourselves. And everybody's at a certain level of healing. That's the only reason we're in these embodiments. And part of the process of healing is learning to love oneself. Not to love yourself like, like the narcissistic type, but the unconditionally, meaning without conditions, loving somebody, yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, how can you love the universe and things around you? So it's raising those levels of your vibrational area of the sound, both whether quantum physics or whether in spirituality, is basically raising your vibrational area and identifying who you are. So that's why I was curious when you brought that up. You guys tap in all these things that are actually within whether it's in Kabbalism or whether it's in Taoism or any of the esoterics, as they say, is identifying. It's like basically in science, right? What they're doing in their facility for 30 years. It's gone full circle from what especially Western science has cut off. Then it's the Eastern science because they utilize acupuncture and demonstrating the spiritual side as well as the medical side, which is sort of strange. But the term of success and the illusion of that, you guys are showing how that's not real. And I know what you're talking about of athletes because I was myself an athlete. I'm still athletic, but I used to play football back in from college and high school. And then I have a very close relative who's a major heavyweight boxer. In fact, he's a contending world champion. And I know being around those people, there's an expectation placed upon outside. And when a good athlete, when he finds out, he pulls that expectation out, they actually during they'll actually do better in their own sport besides their own lives. As opposed to when they win
exactly.
So, yeah, and what you're saying is very much true because there's a lot of athletes. People aren't aware, like, I think, and now I'm talking football because I only identify with football, like, because that's what I played. And I know, I think it's, and I may be guessing, I think it's like somewhere in the 70 or 80% of football players end up going bankrupt within the first 5 years. This is a fact. 5 years within. After they finish playing their last game of football, and they have because they have all this money, they're burning it up. Left, it's almost like self-destruction because now they don't have it, and they're burning it up because they're living the high life because they think it's going to continue. But back in their mind, they have this fear that that's their success. They're successful now, and afterward, what they're going to do, and then they actually they create their own worst thing because they have the false idea of success. Now let me ask you because we're only I want to really get into your facility of work. I know I believe you were telling the last time I talked to you, you were talking about coming out to having a facility. I believe in Las Vegas in other areas in the United States and perhaps other countries. What is the endeavors and pursuits of CMI right now, or the future of CMI?
Well, we definitely want to get our message and our work globally. Is any new idea, even though it's been going on for 27 years, they really haven't commercialized. They have been doing this quietly alone, just with the high success rate. And I found out about it, and actually, because of who I am, I just said I need to talk to the world. And so we're just doing this step by step, bringing people here from different parts of the world. And our goal is to have at least documented from this point on 100 cases, and then eventually get into the States, and then hopefully globally. We do have people of interest, investors, different people that see the value. They see that this is not, I wouldn't say necessarily out of the box thinking, but something that just has never been applied. And we know for a fact that the next millennium, the next change is going to be shifting is for spirituality, is, you know, knowing the mind, knowing the heart and soul, and the body will follow. So we are looking to do that. Time will tell. You know, we're trying to move quickly through this, but...
What actual fit? Aren't you guys trying to get a place out in Vegas or something like that? Or that's why my understanding.
We're working with someone that has a location in Vegas. Yes.
until
everything is, the ground is breaking and the concrete's being poured, it's just still a part of a vision.
Oh, so it's okay. So you're still guys in, not even okay. So right now that's your. The goal is to start getting in, and one possible opportunity is getting into Vegas or other locations. So that's like sort of premature to say that you're already having a facility, or it's like basically the.
Well, we're having
plots
major discussions with someone, but until there's something actually happening that's tangible, it's just a vision and a thought, and until it becomes a reality, we don't know exactly when it will happen. It will happen, though.
How would somebody be able to, if they had questions, or maybe some people out there have the facility or opportunity, how would they be able to contact you? Or maybe they themselves won't need to come to you or to your facility. How would they be able to contact you? And also, if you can, please, I know their website's in Spanish, but by the way, you can always Google Translate.
The English version I'm hoping will be up by next week. They can contact me directly. I can actually give you a direct number. It's 305-961-1764. They can contact me either by my email, which is kimadvent@gmail.com, or my company, which is Avante Wellness, it's AVANTIWELLNESS@gmail.com. And again, the website is www.cmiabasto, it's ABASTO.com. And you can click on an English tab or do the generic translation just to kind of get an idea. But there is an English tab, and it will be available for people to, you know, read it that way as well. Actually, Andy, I invite you to come down and experience it, and maybe we can do a show from there with one of the philosophical coaches. When you experience it yourself, it's one of those unique things that it's hard to express. But once you connect to it, you totally get it.
No, thank you for the invite. I don't know when I'll be heading down that way. I'm supposed to be going to have so many things, projects. I'm supposed to be heading to Sydney on the other side. I'm going south, but probably be heading down Australia and projects and Europe and other things. But I've never been so much in Latin America, so that would be definitely... If I head straight down to Argentina, definitely will check you out in, you know, Buenos Aires. I want to thank you for coming on my show. Kim, it was very enlightening. Those out there, please do check that out. If there's opportunity, also as well as facilitating to get this out you know, into maybe your township or city, wherever it is. Duke, you know, gave you, you got the information. If you need to, you can always contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com, and I'll definitely forward it to you. Again, I want to thank you again for coming on my show. And with that, I'm going to close another song from Angie Madsen. This song is from one of her albums from early days called Drive. And do check her out, AngieMadsen.com. Check out her new CD, Skeleton Arm. It is fucking crazy and great. And talk to you guys later. And God bless you all, and love and light. Thank you.